lift up his name and exalt him and learn of him and grow in his grace and knowledge. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6 tonight is where we're going to find our text, Romans chapter 6. does anybody have any idea, remember what we studied Sunday morning at all? Just curious. Well, we talked about salvation. Amen. Yeah, amen. Satan's head would be bruised or crushed, and the heel of the Savior, the seed of the woman, would be bruised in the process. And so we went all the way back to Genesis. We spent some time trying to remind everybody that, you know, a lot of people have that question today. If God's so good, if he's such a good and loving creator, why didn't he make a world without sin, without suffering, and without death? And the answer is, he did. And the condition of our world today is our fault. It's man who brought the fall, who brought the curse, who brought destruction. And it's really crazy if you think about it, because God gave man dominion. He gave Adam the dominion over everything that was made. He even got to name all the animals. Amen. So, I mean, he had all of this dominion, all of this authority, and he gave it up, literally for a piece of fruit. But we understand that there was temptation there that was beyond their understanding. And we know how Eve was tempted and tricked and all those things. But in that perfection that God created, he gave them a free choice. Amen. The one thing they couldn't do is the one thing that they did do. And it brought that rebellion, that disobedience, brought sin and death into the world. And sin is passed upon all of us because we've all sinned. But God's so good and loving and gracious because even in the midst of that, so they had life, but then they brought in death. But even in the judgment and the curse that God gave, he gave the promise of redemption. He gave the promise of life. He gave the promise of crushing the serpent's head and destroying the devil, the one who had the power of death, the devil. He was defeated in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is good news if you want to tell your face so you can smile. I mean, this is good news, right? I mean, death is defeated. Our greatest enemy is destroyed. And so we're learning about that on Sundays, about that idea of how death is defeated. We have life in Jesus Christ. But tonight and the next several weeks, I want to talk to you about this idea of living alive, because it's not just enough to be alive. You need to live alive. Amen. If you're able, let's stand. We're going to pray, and then we're going to read verse 11 to get started. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. And we'll kind of back up then and get the context. Ready? Let's pray, and then we'll get into the word. I'm going to ask Brother Sean Cowan, would you lead us in prayer before we read? Amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen. Please be seated. So we get the idea. Originally, God created life. He gave life. He gave goodness. He gave abundance. He gave joy, communion with himself. Perfect communion, perfect relationship with himself. But then in the fall, when Adam disobeyed, he brought death. And so we can even go back and look at the curse, and we're not going to take the time to walk into all the details, but you just remember a couple things. The ground was cursed, and do you remember what happened because of the curse to the ground? One of the things that sprung up? Thorns. Thorns came up, right? And we learn about those even in the parable of the sower. There's thorns that choke out life and fruit. But think about this. What was the crown that Jesus Christ wore when he went to the cross? A crown of thorns. So thorns was part of the curse, and Jesus took that curse on himself. And there are so many things like that. Did Adam have work before the fall? It's not a trick question. He put him in the garden, and he said to tend it, to keep it. Now, it was different before and after the curse, right? Because after the curse, he said in the sweat of thy brow, right? Amen. And you guys remember when Jesus went to the garden and he prayed, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And there are these pictures that carry from the curse of sin in the garden, the thorns and the sweat of the brow that Jesus fulfills in the New Testament. There's picture after picture after picture. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And I just want you to get this. Jesus took the curse of sin on himself in every way. He became one of us. He suffered for all of us. And he died for our sins. And so Jesus shows up and he conquers death and hell and the grave. And just like the little guy we met on Sunday afternoon, Jackson, could point out the cross and say, that's where God died. And I love the fact that he said he was God. That young man understands theology better than a lot of grown people I know. So Jesus, God, died. But then when you look at the end of the track, you see the empty tomb. That's where God came back. And that is so true. That's what happened. God died. God rose again. And he conquered death and hell and the grave. And what happens for those who believe? We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And now we're made alive unto God. Amen. And where I was dead in sin, now I'm dead to sin.
Amen.
Everybody get that?
Right.
Yeah, before I was saved, I was captive by sin. I was shackled by sin. I was a slave to sin. Sin had dominion over me. But when I trusted in Jesus, the chains fell off.
Amen.
I was set free.
Right.
And now I'm not dead in my sin. Now I'm dead to sin. Death
Amen.
And sin have no more dominion over me. And if you're trusting in Jesus Christ alone, death and sin have no dominion over you. You have been made alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
I know you're like, listen, I'm really tired, so it's hard to be excited, but we should be excited about the fact that we're not dead anymore.
Amen.
Okay. So we have been given this promise that the seed of the woman, the virgin-born Son of God, would crush the head of Satan when he was bruised for our sins on the cross, and we understand that. So I want to back up a little bit and catch the context. Now, you understand tonight that Romans is all about the fact that we are justified by faith, okay? That's kind of the overarching story of Romans. It's to let you know that you're not justified by good works, you're not justified by your deeds, but you're justified by faith, just like Abraham was, okay? So when he goes through kind of outlining all of that, there's none righteous, no, not one, but like Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, so you too are justified by faith.
Amen.
Then he comes to chapter 6 and he says, what shall we say then? Look at verse 1. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the answer is, God forbid. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now let me stop for just a second. How many of you have been saved for more than 5 minutes? Can I see your hands? Okay. How many of you, since you've been saved, have sinned? Shocking, isn't it, right? Listen, a lot of people who aren't saved or have not been saved very long, they have a hard time understanding this. When you get saved, it doesn't mean that you'll never sin again. But I'm going to tell you this, if you're born again, you can't continually live in sin.
Right. Amen.
Well, how can you say that, Pastor? Well, because I know God won't let you.
Amen.
If you love your kids, are you going to let them just keep doing wrong all the time? Let me try that one more time. If you love your children, are you going to keep letting them do what's wrong? No, because you love them and you know what's at the end of a life of disobedience. It's not good. So what do? You say, hey, stop that. Don't do that. We don't act like that, right? And if they do it again, what do? You lovingly beat the tar out of them. With all the love in your heart and soul, you whoop them. That's right. I don't even care. Like, DHS will be coming over tonight. I don't care. I love my kids. And I'm going to correct them. Why? Because there's far worse danger out there in disobedience than there is in correction.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
God loves you too much to let you live in sin.
Amen.
Okay? He's going to correct you. He's going to convict you. He's going to chastise you. He's going to get you back on the right track. So how can we?
Amen.
If you've been dead to sin, if you've been delivered from sin, how can you keep living in it? Well, when the Spirit of God lives in you, he's made you a new creature in Christ, you won't continue to live in sin. Verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, right?
Amen.
Then he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And when you put your faith in Jesus, your old man is dead and crucified and buried with him. And even in the same way that your old man is dead, you have new life in Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
So we're raised to walk in newness of life. Verse 5, one more time. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, from this moment on, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him.
Amen.
If you're in Christ, your old man is dead. I wish I could remember the name of the pastor, but there was a lawsuit that happened, and this pastor was taken to trial. And while he was in trial, the prosecution and cross-examination, they just were really going after him, like just raking him over the coals. And there was a recess, a break, and he went out into the hallway, and this lawyer, young lawyer, goes up to the pastor, and he says, "Pastor, I'm sorry for being so hard on you. I'm just doing my job." And the pastor looked at him and said, "You can't hurt a dead man.
Amen.
You can't hurt a dead man." Now, as far as I know, this is a true story, that lawyer ended up quitting the case. He wouldn't continue to prosecute that pastor. You can't hurt a dead man. You know, a lot of us get our feelings hurt a lot. A lot of us get hurt a lot. A lot of us let a lot of stuff bug us. But the reality is it shouldn't bother us because we're dead.
Amen.
I'm crucified with Christ.
Right. Amen.
Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. So this life isn't my own anymore. Jesus Christ died and rose again, and we have newness of life. We have newness of life. You're dead. And sin has no more dominion over you. Verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Now, just as a side note, you can't hardly talk about Romans 6 without talking about baptism. As a matter of fact, a pastor friend of mine asked me this question just yesterday. Romans chapter 6, is that talking about spiritual baptism or is it talking about water baptism? And I think people have been asking that question for a long time. So would you like to know the answer? I mean, if you don't care, we'll just move on. It's fine. Now, if you want to know the answer, me too. but I'll tell you what I think. I think that primarily Romans 6 is talking about spiritual baptism. I'm going to tell you this. I'm not made dead and alive through being put through the water. I didn't die to sin through being baptized in water.
Amen.
That happened when I trusted in Jesus.
Amen.
So which one is it, spiritual or water? Well, I believe that Romans 6 is explaining to us what water baptism pictures.
Right.
So it's about the spiritual reality, and it helps us understand what the water baptism pictures.
Amen.
So let me help you out. When you get baptized, it pictures that Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again. Doesn't it?
Right.
Doesn't it picture the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Yeah. But it doesn't just picture what he did for you. Baptism pictures what he's done in you.
Amen.
And the moment you trusted in Jesus Christ, the old man was crucified, and you were raised to walk in newness of life.
Amen.
That reality happens because you believed in Jesus, not because you got dunked in water.
Amen.
Everybody good with that?
Amen.
Okay. Well, I don't want to get too harsh on it. It's just the reality is I've got some friends that I love dearly that believe that if you're not water baptized, you're not going to heaven. And I got to tell you, there's a man who was there with Jesus when he died who would beg to differ. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Right. Amen.
Salvation is not by works. It's by faith alone.
Amen.
Now, does that mean we shouldn't get baptized? No, I think we should get baptized.
Amen.
I think we should do something publicly to let the world know that Jesus died for us and rose again. I think we should gladly go through the waters of baptism to let everybody know Jesus died for me and I'm going to live for him. All right, verse 11, the reckoning. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves. Man, what a great southern word for our Bibles. I reckon. I've heard that my whole life, haven't you?
Amen.
This word reckon, it means to count as true or to calculate. It actually means to calculate. And so when we're reckoning something, this isn't a emotional response. It's not a hypothetical idea. It is a faith accounting based on fact. The fact is, Jesus Christ died for you and rose again. He died for your sins once, and he lives forever unto God the Father. That's the fact. That's the truth. And when you reckon yourselves indeed to be dead to sin and alive unto God, what you're doing is calculating. You're basing your reality, the way you live your life, on that fact that Jesus died and rose again. And if that's true, then you're dead and you have new life in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This reckoning is not a fiction. It is an acknowledgement of a fact. Faith does not create truth. It counts upon truth that is already established by Jesus Christ. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what does that mean? That means that it's a reality that exists, but as I live my day-to-day life, I'm going to calculate that. I'm going to reckon that. I'm going to appropriate that to the way that I live my life. So what am I trying to say? Count it as true that you really are dead to sin and alive to God. Okay, so I asked a question a while ago. How many of you have been saved more than 5 minutes and you've sinned? And like everybody who's been saved for more than 5 minutes, we've all sinned, right? So here's the reality. As a saved person, have there been times in your Christian life that you lived in a way as though you weren't now dead to sin, but like you lived in a way like you were still dead in sin? Have you ever lived that way?
Amen.
Have you ever lived your Christian life since you were saved as though sin still had dominion over you? For a moment or for a day or for a season, have there been times in your Christian life that you lived as though it weren't a reality that you have new life in Jesus?
Amen.
Well, I can tell you tonight that I have. I have had days and times and seasons in my life where I lived as though I was still dead in sin. And what Paul's trying to remind us of is the reality. The truth is, if you are born again, then you're dead to sin and you're alive to God and you ought to live that way. So you got to reckon it to your account. You got to count it as true on your account. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And what that is a reality. That is a spiritual truth. But it was important for Abraham to live as though he had the righteousness of God on his account. And friend, we have to do the same thing. We've got to appropriate that truth. I think a lot of people get confused about the Christian life. I think a lot of people have the idea that we're trying to live in a way to make ourselves alive. And when we're talking about reckoning yourself to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God, I'm not saying, hey guys, work really hard so that you can make yourself alive. Stop doing bad stuff and start doing good stuff so that you can make yourself alive. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, realize that you are, in fact, alive unto God through Jesus Christ.
Right.
Believe the promise. I don't know if you've ever wrestled with this before, but it may be in your Christian life, there's been a time that you did something really bad that you're super ashamed of. Anybody ever done that? Y'all could help me out, because I really don't want to be the only one in the room tonight. I don't know what's wrong with our pastor. He's done some bad stuff. So thankful I've never done anything like that. One of the hardest things I think for us to do when we mess up is to get back up and live like we've been forgiven. There's something in us that we ask God to forgive us, but we think we got to do more. Amen. Like I ask God to forgive me, but I've got to do something to make up for this. I got to pay some kind of penance. I've got to make some kind of restitution or whatever. And listen, if you stole something, there is restitution to make. Don't misunderstand me, but I think a lot of people phrase it this way. I know that God's forgiven me, but I'm having a hard time forgiving myself. You ever heard that? Well, I would like to argue with you if you're sitting here tonight think you needed to forgive yourself. You didn't sin against yourself. You sinned against God. Amen. Ultimately, all sins against him. And so here's the reality. If you confess, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. You don't need to forgive yourself. What you need to do is believe that he actually has forgiven you. And there's something in our pride that says, I can't just trust in that. Like, I got to do something too. You know how you're forgiven? Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shed his blood to pay for your sin. That's the payment that was required. So I just want to ask you tonight, what is it that you're going to bring to add to that? God, based on the fact that your only son died for my sins, I'm asking you to forgive me, but also I want to bring this and add it to the pile. I'm going to add this to the tally. What are you going to add? No, friend, listen, believe that he has forgiven you and live as though you've been forgiven. Believe that he has made you alive in Christ and live alive. Live. Like you've been made alive. This is the reality. We're dead to sin. Amen. Dead indeed unto sin. This word dead has the idea of being unresponsive. That, man, what a joy. Be unresponsive to sin. Like sin comes knocking and there's nothing there for you, right? It talks about the idea of sin here having a ruling authority over you, right? Sin had dominion over you, and now it doesn't. Amen. Why? Because Jesus Christ destroyed sin and death when he died. It doesn't have dominion over you, and from this moment on, henceforth, we should not serve sin. Now, I know a lot of lost people would never agree to the reality that they're serving sin, but that's exactly what we all did without Christ. We served sin. We lived for it. It had control over it. We were slaves to it. Amen. But you're not anymore. The reality is you're dead to sin and you're alive unto God. Amen. Actively living toward God. Amen. Now, here's what's tricky, I think. I'm alive because of God. Amen. But I've got to calculate my life. I've got to reckon my life. I've got to live in this reality that I'm not just alive into God, in God, but I'm alive unto God. In other words, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My life is in Christ and my life is for Christ. Amen. I don't know about you guys, but I have a problem for that because I like to live for myself. I think there's a good reason why the Bible tells us to love others the way we love ourselves, because we really love ourselves. But he wants us to live unto him. So you're alive not just in God or because of God or as a result of God, but you're alive unto God. Alive unto God. My life is hid in Christ. My life is in Christ, and my life must be lived for Christ. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what do we do? Look at verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Amen. So let me give you some practicalities to wrap it up tonight. Number one, refuse sin's rule. Don't allow sin to reign in your mortal body, in your physical body. What does that mean? Like literally your body. You ought to pay attention to where sin is trying to get control and cut off its influence. Sin's always going to be trying to get dominion over you again, and you don't have to let it because it doesn't have the ability anymore unless you allow it to. So when you were lost, you didn't have a choice. It had absolute dominion. Now you do have a choice, and you can cut it off. So identify where sin's coming at you and cut off the influence from your life. This is what Jesus taught, right? If your eye offends you, plug it out. If your hand offends you, what's he saying? Does Jesus want a bunch of Christians in churches around the world just mutilating themselves? No. Can you imagine? No. Jesus doesn't. God forbid anybody goes home and starts cutting off body parts. Amen. Mutilation is for the devil and his crowd. No, what we're talking about is spiritually cutting off those influences in your life.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Listen, I don't have to get into all the details. I think the Holy Spirit will do a good enough job of that in your life. But I know this. We all have weak points. We all have sins that we struggle with, besetting sins. And we know how they come in the door. So stop it. Do whatever you have to do to cut it off.
Amen.
So refuse sin's rule. Don't let it come. Number two, offer yourself to God. Yield yourselves unto God and your members, your body parts, as instruments of righteousness. Here's the truth. In our sinful condition without Christ, we gave our bodies over to sin. We served sin with our bodies, with our eyes and with our ears and with our mouths and with our hands and with our feet and everything in our body, we gave it to sin. And now he's saying, don't do that anymore, but use everything you have to serve God.
Amen.
Yield yourself. Offer yourself to God, your mind, your eyes, your mouth, your hands, your time, your talents, your treasures, everything that you have, give it to serve God.
Amen.
I would advise you to start your day surrendered to the Lord.
Amen.
I would advise you to be really intentional about what you do with what God's given you. What do I mean? Think about what you're doing with your eyes. Think about what you're listening to. Like, be careful what you listen to. Do you think there's a bunch of nonsense that you could listen to on a daily basis? My goodness, there is so much out there to corrupt your hearts and minds. Don't use your bodies as instruments of unrighteousness. Start your day surrendered to God. Use your body intentionally. And can I just say this? You can turn any moment of your day to a time of worship with God.
Amen.
Anybody ever experienced that? I mean, just any moment of your day could be a time of worship.
Amen.
When you wake up in the morning, you can worship.
Right.
When you get ready for work or school, you can worship. I mean, how many of you guys have had just like a real praise session, like driving down the road? Anybody? Yeah, isn't it cool? Now, I got to know, do you get, like, embarrassed when you come to the stoplight and kind of tone it down a little, or you just keep it going? Come on, just keep it going. I got an idea that AJ just keeps it going.
Wide open.
Wide open. Roll the window. People start looking, roll them windows down, turn it up a little bit more. Let's go. Listen, I don't think we should be ashamed. You can turn driving to work or school as a time of worship. Listen, you could turn your lunch break in a time to worship and serve God. I'm just telling you that anywhere you go, anytime, all the time, you can offer yourself to God. You can serve Him. It's heartbreaking to me that some people, the only time they think that they can sing praises or hear preaching or be in the Word of God is when they come to church. I'd starve to death spiritually if the only time is when I came to church. I gotta praise Him. I gotta pray. I gotta read the Word. I've gotta spend time with Him all the time.
Amen.
Number three, rest in grace. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Praise God. Because you're not under the law, but under grace. Some people seem to have the idea that grace excuses our sin, but it doesn't. Grace conquers sin.
Amen.
The law couldn't do it, but grace did.
Amen.
Grace does not excuse sin, it conquers sin. So tonight I want to ask you, where is sin trying to reign in your life right now? Where's some areas where you know that Satan's on the attack? Temptation just keeps coming back. Where are those areas at? What are you going to do to cut it off? And what have you not yielded to God? Where, what area of your life are you still holding on to and not laying at the feet of Jesus? I want to tell you, friends, if you want to live alive, you're going to have to lay it all down at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
Give every part of your life to Him who gave all of Himself for you. Father, I thank You for the time together to sing Your praises.